It's time for the final hour here on Darren and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick here with you. Darren McFarland is off for the rest of the week. A little mini vacation. So Steve Lehman from Channel 5 is with us, standing in. He is our ace in the hole. Julian Council behind the glass. We've got the U.S. Open going on. We'll get you a scoreboard update in the next segment. Also, Russia with the opening win of the World Cup, an easy 5-0 blowout of Saudi Arabia. So mark that down in your pools if you had Russia in the opener.
I did.
You did?
I had okay. Russia.
I didn't. I forgot to fill mine out. My brother sent me the thing, and I forgot to fill it out. Now I'm screwed. I don't know if I can get in.
Yeah.
Because I want to have some interest in every game because I want to pick them. But maybe I'll just do my own in my own mind. Anyway, as we promised you earlier, it's time to talk to John Middlecoff. He is a former NFL scout. He works with The Athletic out of San Francisco and also attended the Titans minicamp. So this will be an interesting perspective to hear from somebody from the outside who observed and had a good conversation with General Manager John Robinson as well. So, John, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem, guys. What's going on?
Well, the minicamp is done, and we've got a little U.S. Open on one screen. We had the World Cup going on the other. But, of course, around here, John, as you know, it's at this point, it's kind of a countdown until a training camp start, especially with the Titans becoming relevant again, making the playoffs last year, and high expectations for their new coaching staff. So just give us your general observation, I guess, as you watched. Do you like the direction that this team is going?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had actually been at 49ers practice the week before. And, I think most people view them, if not a playoff team, but a team that's going to win 8, 9, 10 games, obviously with Jimmy Garoppolo. But leaving Titans practice, I thought it was not, I would take Jimmy over Mariota, but I thought top to bottom the roster was much better. I mean, they're much farther along. They have just a lot more solid borderline Pro Bowl players. And I left thinking if Marcus can bounce back and, is comfortable in this offense, I think they definitely should contend. Now, the division's hard, but, I think playoff expectations are definitely fair.
I think one of the things that is the number one theme that a lot of us have is just what you said, that the fear is that the Titans could be better with their roster. Mariota's a year older. New coaching staff, but at the same time, because the division is tougher, especially if Andrew Luck can get back in there, you could be better but still finish 8-8 and out of the playoffs here. So let's get to one of the things you said. Mariota, what are the keys for you and you in your discussions, your observations on how he has the type of year he'll need to have if they're going to sustain playoff level?
Well, the day I was there, Corey Davis didn't practice, so I didn't really get to see him. But, I don't really know that much about him. I didn't watch him that much as, rookie year. I know he's coming back from an injury. But when you take a guy that high, he's going to have to be good. He's going to need to be a very productive player because, you guys know their receiving corps is not great. And Delaney's really good, and obviously now adding Deion Lewis, that's basically like having an extra receiver, even though he's a running back, because how good he is out of the backfield. That should help a lot. They're going to need – I thought 2 years ago, DeMarco Murray was excellent. I mean, he was awesome. And obviously last year kind of fell off the cliff. But they're going to need Derrick Henry to kind of be like what DeMarco was a couple years ago and be really productive on the ground.
John,
and I think if they can get back to running the ball, that should that whenever Mariota was playing well, even in college, they had a good ground attack. He's not the most accurate deep passer, and now granted he doesn't have deep threats on this team really. So they run the ball, be a run-first team, and play defense.
John, when you look at that running game, I think everybody wants to know how Deion Lewis, who comes in to replace Murray, fits with Derrick Henry in the backfield and how they're going to split up the carries and what exactly that's going to look like with those two guys. Did you get any sense in your conversations with John Robinson of what he envisions, maybe a split of carries between those two guys or the roles that they're going to have?
Yeah, I honestly didn't ask, but I would imagine just like most coaching staff and front offices think, sometimes when you have redundant backs, and DeMarco and Derek, they're not exactly the same player, but their styles are similar. When you have guys that do two separate things, it's easy to play them both a lot. I mean, Deion obviously can run the ball between the tackles, but his best role to me is get him outside, get him on swing routes, throw him the football. It's where he was really dynamic for the Patriots. And Derrick Henry, I mean, might be one of the biggest running backs in NFL history. You know, just slam him down people's throats. So I would expect just Henry to be the starter and to be the bell cow, and Deion Lewis be the guy that you can do a little bit of everything with. And that's really, you look all over the league, I mean, all the good teams have that player. You know, Darren Sproles type, what Deion Lewis was for the New England Patriots. You know, if you don't have a Le'Veon Bell or, you know, a Shady McCoy that does it all, you really need that backup that's kind of a, you know what, when I was worked in the league, we called him a third down back. The reality is so many teams pass on first and second down. That guy is just, you know, a full-time back, and he can be your full, he can be a starter for you if Henry gets nicked up and has to miss a game, but he also can, you know, function on every down, especially if you're passing it on early downs.
The other factor in that running game is 2 years ago, the Titans had one of the best offensive lines in the league, highlighted by those tackles in Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin. Well, last year they didn't quite live up to expectations. Now you have Lewan in at least a mini holdout of mini camp at this point, and Conklin coming back from a torn ACL. How confident are you in this offensive line group that they can get everybody on the field and get back to the pace they were at a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty confident. I think the head coach, you know, I know he's a defensive guy, but, you know, he's a tough guy. And anytime you have a tough guy as your head coach, your offensive line, when you do have talent, and they clearly do, you know, should get back on track. I mean, to me, when I think Mike Vrabel, I think a guy that's going to relate to offensive linemen. So I'd expect he's going to have high expectations for that group. It probably got a little tougher yesterday for the Titans with Zach Martin, a guard that got, you know, all that money. Well, tackles make more than guards, and he got $40 million guaranteed. So I think Taylor Lewan's kind of licking his lips now. It's clearly a priority. You got to get that contract done, but it's, you know, it's got a little more complicated yesterday.
Well, with that in mind, give us your thoughts from the outside on where he fits. He's clearly in a great position, leverage-wise, Taylor Lewan is, but do you see him as a first-rate left tackle in this league going forward, worth a big investment?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's close enough to the top tier where he just kind of bite the bullet. I mean, what are you going to do? Just play him on his fifth-year option, and then if he's not good, let him walk. And if he is, franchise him. I mean, that's not a great way to do business. I think when you have a guy, I don't know enough about the relationship internally. You guys know better. It feels like they like him.
Yeah.
You know, so if you do like him and you are comfortable with the person and your quarterback likes him and your coaching staff likes him, then, you know, if you quote-unquote have to overpay a little bit, in a couple of years that number won't be as bad. So it may look bad that first year, but, you know, it starts looking better pretty quickly. I just probably bite the bullet. You know, if you can get him signed for $50 to $55 million guaranteed. I mean, you saw Mike Evans, the wide receiver, earlier this offseason signed, I think, $55 million guaranteed. It's probably the number you'd like. The other kind of elephant in the room is, even if Mariota is just solid, not great, I mean, we know what quarterbacks get.
Right.
So that's a contract that's going to be, you know, even if he's just okay, I mean, he's going to get a lot of money. So it is, you do have to think big picture, but who else are they paying? I mean, they don't have a receiver that they really have to pay. Casey's already been paid. Their best outside pass rusher probably is, you know, in the next several years is going to be the second rounder. So he's on a rookie contract. You know, Rashawn Evans is a rookie. They've already paid Malcolm Butler. I guess, have they paid the safety yet? He probably needs to get paid eventually. It's just a balancing act. It's hard. You can't pay everyone.
We're talking to John Middlecoff. He is with The Athletic San Francisco and a former NFL scout who's touring around to different mini camps that he visited the Titans. Anything else jump out at you, John, when you discussed some things with John Robinson? Any themes that you found interesting?
He was very high on Malcolm Butler. And, you know, out here in the Bay Area, I thought the Raiders and 49ers that both needed quarterbacks should have been aggressive on him. And being at practice, you know, is Malcolm Butler, Richard Sherman, or Darrell Revis in his prime? No.
but he is a solid, solid quarterback. And he's a high-character New England-type guy. And when I was there, the first two guys at practice were Marcus Mariota, which is normal. You know, high-level quarterbacks usually going to be the first guy out there. And Butler was second and just kind of stood out. And he raved about him. And then at practice, he made some plays. John was telling me how he made plays all offseason. You know, in my I've watched the Titans actually the last, I think the Raiders have played them like 3 or 4 years in a row. So I've seen a decent amount of them, and their DBs have been terrible. You know, I think Adoree will take a big step, and adding Malcolm Butler, their corners should be so much better than they've been in the past. And really, how many games have they lost these last 2 years when they were kind of like fringe playoff teams? I know last year they made the playoffs, but think how much better they would have been if they actually could cover
something. Right, that's a fair question. 49ers game come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm Butler does not need to be Revis or Deion Sanders. He just needs to be a solid starter. And then Adoree, you know, when you are a first-round pick, there is a lot of hype on you. I you know, say one thing about Adoree, he competes. He's not scared. He will make some plays. He'll give up some plays. That's part of being a corner. To me, those guys, that should be such a dramatic jump. Because their front seven, I know whenever the Raiders played them, it was always good. Their front seven has never really been a problem, especially against the run. It's just been pass defense. And adding Landry now to rush the passer, and those guys just cover, if they can just cover for a second longer, you know, I thought their defense was pretty good. It's classic old school move. The first round, Rashawn Evans was running with the threes. I mean, we all know he's
going to be the starting middle linebacker.
So, you know, once he starts playing, I think he's really good. Their defense should be pretty solid.
Yeah, John, the last couple of days, the secondary has certainly stood out at minicamp. When you talk to John Robinson, you mentioned how high he was on Malcolm Butler. Obviously, here and everywhere after the Super Bowl, it was such a story, the fact that he just simply did not play, and Bill Belichick kept him out. And we've heard all sorts of rumors, never really got a straight story. I asked Butler specifically about that a few days ago and just said, do you take any motivation about how that ended? And he said, not really. I'm just going to be me and continue to be me and continue to play and try to do my job. Did you hear anything from John Robinson about how he looked into that issue in New England, or what he thought about it, or why he wasn't concerned with the way things ended for Butler in New England?
Yeah, I asked him that. And, you know, John has a little New England in him too, obviously, being there forever. So he didn't give you that much, but he said he did look into it and asked and felt very comfortable. And I think at the end of the day, I don't know any more than you guys do, as most people don't know. I don't think it was that crazy. You know, it might have just been as simple as an ego play for Belichick, and he had been sick and not practicing, and they didn't play him. I don't think it was like some crazy out of character, you know, he got caught drinking the night before the game, or, you know, who knows.
Hey, that's not really his MO.
I mean, you guys have been around him long enough now. Like, he's a pretty high-level guy.
I also think it speaks to Tom Brady and all the guys on the team kind of had his back.
You know, it'd be one thing if they kind of flipped on him, like he deserved that, but no one took that side. So I think the way it's all played out, even where today, not knowing the information, if you were going to pick a side, I think Bill Belichick's the greatest NFL football coach ever. I think he screwed up, and I think that Malcolm Butler did not deserve to be benched for the entire day.
John, we really appreciate your insight. Great stuff. Hopefully we can talk again down the road.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one. See you.
All right. John Middlecoff, former NFL scout, now with the Athletic San Francisco. You heard him kind of reference. He's a big Jimmy Garoppolo. He's a believer.
I am, too, after watching what he did last year.
Yeah. But the question is, with the stakes higher, will he be better? But it does look like that roster is coming around a little bit, and he's the key for sure.
Well, and now they think they have the quarterback. So now they just work on the roster around him. I mean, that's the thing. If you can get the quarterback as the initial piece, you can take your time to build up everything else because you think you're going to be good for a while.
When we come back, I want to hit on something that he noted in his observation of the Titans, and that is the Titans' defense. Mm-hmm. We've been used to the defense being the weak suit and the offense being where they've invested a lot. But could it be that they actually have a very good defense this year? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll also get you a U.S. Open school board update. We'll tell you how Tiger Woods is doing so far. He's early in his round. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.